Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus said, if you lean on me, can lean on me. Jesus said, if you lean on me, if you lean on me, if you lean on me, Jesus said, I won't let you fall.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Welcome, welcome, welcome to your 66. And I am your host, Pastor Keith McReal McNeil. I hope everyone is enjoying a holiday and everybody's eating healthy and everybody's, you know, staying 6 feet apart and everybody have on a mask and everybody's doing what they're supposed to do. Amen. We still have to obey the law of the land. Amen. Glory to God once again. Thank you all. Thank you all. Thank you all. All our supporters, all our people that's been just calling in and people that's just been supporting us and been there for us from the beginning. And if you're a new listener, we welcome you with the love of the Lord. Amen. And glory to God. Hallelujah. I was, this is a Memorial Day holiday where we, you know, we talk about the fallen soldiers and we give honor to them who gave their lives for our country and put their lives on the line so we can live freely. Amen. And I was looking at the news today, and one of the anchor people or news announcers had made a statement about this is more than just a holiday. It's more than just, you know, barbecuing and shopping. It's a day of that we remember those who gave their lives up for us and those who fight for us on a daily basis and those who had died. Amen. And I questioned my wife and I was like, well, wow, I wonder why they never say that on Christmas. You know, they never say Christmas is not just for shopping. They never give Jesus honor on that day. They never tell us the true meaning of Christmas. They never really talk about why Jesus is so important on that day. Amen. Glory to God. Wow, that day is so important. But I took it upon myself, and I thought about it, and it bothered me, and I thought about it. Amen. And I wrote down the ultimate price. Amen. And I wrote down the fallen soldier, and I wrote down the real hero. Amen. Glory to God. And today we're going to discuss my hero. Amen. We're gonna discuss my hero. I mean, we all have heroes, and to each his own. But today we're going to discuss my hero. Amen. And before I get to acknowledge him and go into depths of him, I just want to tell you a few things about him according to the Bible, according to the gospel and accounts of the gospel. Amen. According to the gospel accounts, there are so many miracles that my hero, Jesus, performed during his time on earth. For the most part, Christians know that Jesus performed many miracles, but may be surprised to learn of some they didn't know before. Though this is an incomplete list, which I don't have a list, I just picked a few things that I liked it. Amen. And according to John 21 and 25, Jesus did many other things as well. Amen. If any one of them was written down, I suppose that even the whole world wouldn't or would not have room for the books that would be written if we write down every miracle, my hero, who I choose to call Jesus Christ. Amen. That's my hero. Amen. That's my fallen hero. Amen. That's my real hero. Amen. And that is the ultimate warrior in my life. Amen. Things I want to talk about as recorded in the New Testament. I have a few things, a few miracles that my hero had performed before I go on, because we do have scripture and we do have a little word in the Bible. I'm not going to keep you long. Amen. But glory to God. I must be honorable unto my assignment. Amen. Hallelujah. And on the third day, a wedding took place in Canaan in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. But when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not come." His mother said to the servant, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, and kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them up to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water, they knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best to now. What Jesus did here in Canaan of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. Amen. His disciples began to believe in him. Amen. They seen his very first miracle. Jesus had cured the nobleman. If you go to the book of John, amen, verse 46 through 47, it discusses how once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine in the first place. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick in Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Amen. That's a miracle that he performed. We're just going to talk about a few of the miracles because I want to get into this word. Amen. I just want to put some things out. A lot of us talk about the great hall of the fishes. Amen. It talks about how one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw that the water's edges, the two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing in their nets. And he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to push out a little more from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water, he said, and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the net. See, because he knew who Jesus was. And he said, because we got to get to that place when Jesus tells us to do something, because he said so, that should be enough. Amen. I don't want to get too deep into that. Amen. Glory to God. He said, but because you say so, I will let down the net. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets begin to break. God gives you more than enough. Amen. When he tells you to do something, he assigns something, believe me, he already have plans to give you more than enough. He already know the outcome. He already see the prosperity. His words are prosperity. His words are rich. His words are much. Amen. So they signal their partners and the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats full that they began to sink. Listen, wasn't getting nothing, wasn't catching nothing, wasn't nothing happening. Not only did he give you more than enough, but he gave you enough and called your friends over, and they had so much more that the boats were beginning to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees. Go away from me. Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him. God has a plan for our life. We're talking about my hero, Jesus Christ. We're talking about my hero. Today is Memorial Day, and they were talking about the lost soldiers and the heroes who gave their life and those who protect our country and those who gave their lives so we can live. And I choose to honor that. But I choose today to give tribute to my hero, who I decide to call Jesus Christ. Amen. You go to a book. I write these scriptures down, the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 23 to 28, how Jesus had cast out the unclean spirit. It says, just then a man in their synagogue was possessed by an impure spirit, cried out, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Be quiet, said Jesus sternly. Come out of him. The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him in a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching? And with authority, he even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him. News about this spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. God has put that same spirit, Jesus has put that same spirit in some of us, that we can speak death back to life, that we can speak healing, that we can tell the enemy, that spirit, to come out of an impure thing. We can have that alcohol spirit come out of a person. We can have that cancer come out of a person, but we have to do it with authority. We have to know who called us to do it, and we have to know that we have been led by my hero. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus also cured Peter's mother-in-law of a fever in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 30 to 31. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. Just that quick. You're feeling down, you're feeling sick, you're feeling ill. Jesus comes along, the power of the Lord comes along, heals you, and you're right back to doing what you're called to do. See, we got to remember there's an assignment attached to us. Not only did when he healed her, she went right back to work. She didn't make no excuses, oh, I need to lay around 2 more days. I need to take 4 more aspirins. I need to stay off and keep getting checkups. Went right back to work. God has called us to do a work. Well, he has prepared us to do a work. But once again, this is about my hero on today. Amen. The book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 40, 45, talks about how Jesus healed the leper. Amen. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus was ignorant and reached out to him, reached his hand and touched the man and said, I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. Listen to the warnings that the Father gives us. Listen to the warnings that Jesus gives us. Listen to the warnings. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go. Show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded of you for your cleansing as a testimony to them. But instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter into a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Ain't that something? Healed you. Don't say nothing. Don't say nothing to nobody. Just go do what Moses told you to do. Just do that. But you went off bragging off at the mouth. Now the Holy One cannot even come into the city. Now the Holy One can't even go. He got to go and hide in secretly places. He can't even go into a place freely and spread the news. He couldn't enter the town openly. He had to stay outside in lonely places. But guess what? The people still find you. Don't think it's a lonely place. The people will still find you. When you're led by the Holy Ghost, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, when you're led by the Spirit of Jesus, when you're led truly by the one and only God, people will find you. They will find your light. They will find that good spirit. They will find your laughter. They will find your joy. They will find that word. They will find your healing power. We just got to be prepared to be the miracle workers that our Father has called us to be. Amen. I'm not going to hold you long. Like I said, we're going to do this. And we're going to talk about Jesus in the Word. My hero. Jesus healed the centurion's servant in the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verse 5 through 13. It says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, Shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one to go, and he goes. And that one to come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subject's kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. As you believe, do you believe that God can heal you? Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? Do you believe that God is going to keep his word in your life? Do you believe that he answers your prayers? Do you believe he's called you to do what you say you're doing? Do you believe that the power of the Lord rests in your tongue, rests in your hands, rests in your heart to do a work? That centurion soldier's faith was so powerful. He says, you know, I don't even think that my house is worthy for you to come. But Jesus said, your faith, because of his faith, he knew who I was, trusted in me and believed in me, and told him at the very end, go, let it be done just as you believe it would. Say that to yourself. Let it be done as I believe it would. Let my prosperity come forth as I believe it will. Let my health be genuine and strong and mighty as I believe it will. Let me have no lack for nothing. Let me have wisdom of understanding, of Christ's understanding. Anoint my spirit right now. I believe it's going to be done right now. That I can see in the spirit, hear in the spirit, activate the spirit, behave like Christ behaved. Mimic my hero. Hallelujah. Luke 7:11-18 talks about Jesus who has raised the widow's son from the dead. It says, soon after Jesus went to town, the town called Nain, his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and said, now listen, his heart went out to her and said, don't cry. Then he went up and touched the bier. They were carrying him on, and the bearer stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. Listen to what he said. Young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. John's disciples told him, calling two of them. Oh, come on. Let's talk about our hero on a day. I don't know who your hero is. I mean, some people hero is their dad, some people is their uncle, some people is their mom, brother, sister, and that's fine. That's fine. Not taking nothing away from nobody's people and family members. I choose to call Jesus my hero because he's done some things in me that nobody can do. He imparted some things in me that no man can impart. He's given me love like I've never had before. He's given me peace of mind that I never even believed that I could accomplish. He has given me him. He has given me life. He has given me life more abundantly. I just have to claim it, seek it, believe it, and claim it, and seek it, and believe it, and trust in the Lord. That everything he said my life should be, shall be. Hallelujah. Let's talk about Jesus, how he stilled the storm. Whoa! Did he still the storms in your life? Just think about the storms that Christ stilled in your life. Think about the storms you had on yesterday. Think about the storms you might have had this morning. But whatever your storm was and whenever your storm was, think about how Jesus said, storm, be still. And that thing just went right away in your life. All glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you on this evening, Lord. We glorify your name. Yes, we do, Jesus. Matthew chapter 8, 23 to 27 says, then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up to the lake, so that he was waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. And he replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Whatever it is that you have asked Jesus to calm, whatever it is that you have told Jesus to make still, he can do it if we trust and believe in him. If there's something, there's a storm and it's brewing in your life, if there's a storm and there's mountains in your life, if you trust God and give them over to God, he will speak them right out of your life. Matter of fact, he's imparted power in you to move the mountain before you. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to just go into the word. For those, if anyone was late, if anyone didn't get it, we're talking about Memorial Day and the fallen heroes and the warriors and those who was on the front line and saved our lives and those who the world say gave their lives so we can live, and they protect us on a daily basis. They're considered heroes on this day, but I want to say that Jesus is the hero of my life every day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's no hero like him, and we're going to talk about, you know, the front line. We're going to talk about the miracles. Those are miracles that no other man could have done, and he do those same miracles today in our lives. Amen. I'm going to go to the book of Matthew, and I'm going to chapter 27, and I'm going to read, amen, from chapter 32, and I'm going to read all the way over to like 42. It's nothing, we're going to talk about it, because we just want people to know who our hero is, and why we say he's a hero, and what he's done to prove himself as a hero, even when he didn't have to do nothing but be born to be a hero. Hallelujah. So along the way, they came across a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. And they went out to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. The soldiers gave Jesus wine mixed with bitter gall, but when he had tasted it, he refused to drink it. After they had nailed him to the cross, the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. Then they sat around and kept guard as he hung there. A sign was fastening above Jesus' head, announcing the charge against him. It read, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. The people passing by shouted, abused, shaking their heads in mockery. Look at you now, they yelled at him. You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross. The leading priests and teachers of religious law and the elders also mocked Jesus. He saved others, they scoffed, but he can't save himself. So, is the King of Israel, is he? Let him come down from the cross right now, and we will believe in him. He trusted God, so let God rescue him from now, if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even the revolutionaries who were crucified with him ridiculed him in the same way. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why have you forsaken me? Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. But the rest said, wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to save him. Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two. From top to bottom, the earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by and all that had happened. They said, this man truly was the Son of God. And many women who had come from Galilee with Jesus to care for him were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of James and John, and the son of Zebedee. It amazes me how we can forget and how we can get so caught up on the things of the world and how we celebrate in ways of just gluttony, and sometimes we're eating more than we really want. We're cooking and we're wasting and we're shopping and we're buying and we're doing it all in the name of a Memorial Day for soldiers who have died and gave their life for the country. But what about the soldier, the real hero, who gave his life so we can live and have life more abundantly, have life everlasting, who deserves nothing, who did nothing wrong, and was spat on, was lied on, was mocked, and was just poked and had thorns of over his head, just thorns of leaves just pushed into his head and his temple, and just people just lied and deceived him and betrayed him and sat at the tables and ate with him and still betrayed him. And look, to this day, he is still giving favor, still giving us grace. That's a hero to me. That's a real fallen soldier. Amen. And I was reading in chapter from 32 to 34 how cruel crucifixion was, because it was a slow and cruel form of death developed as a warning to those who might contemplate rebelling against the Roman authority. even seemingly merciful measures, such as assigning a passerbyer, to carry the cross of the condemned, were designed to ensure prolonged suffering and slow death. All this was just a routine part of Roman rule. But the day Jesus died was no ordinary day. They crucified the eternal Son of God, who then came back. That's a soldier. That's a hero. No matter what you've done to him, he came back. In all of this, Jesus, the hero, my hero, a lot of other people's heroes, took our sins after 3 hours of darkness. Jesus cried out the opening words, and let's go there to the book of Psalms, chapter 22. And let's see what Jesus cried out. Hallelujah. Just the opening book of Psalms. Hallelujah. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I've grown for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief. Listen, God is good. Jesus is amazing. He is amazing. The Apostle Paul later explained that God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So we could be made right. That's hero stuff. That's real soldier stuff. Giving of your life. Giving of your life, doing what you know you must do so others can live. That's a suffering ministry. A lot of us won't even give the sweat off our brow so someone can live. I didn't like you anyway. I don't like you anyway. We can't live like that no more. It is so much going on around us right now. And I believe God is trying to show us to love our brothers and sisters, to show us that he wants us to realize that his life and his death was not in vain. His death was for nothing. If we don't do the things that God is raising us up and calling us to do, that means his death is for nothing. That's like you going to work every day, and put your kids through college, and you find out they're not even going to school. It's for nothing. It's for nothing. We got to show God that, man, wait, Father, you've done too much for me. I'm going to do whatever I have to do to prove my love for you, my loyalty to you, and whatever else I have to do to let you know that I love you and I appreciate what you've done for me with your life. You gave me life more abundantly by giving yours up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our God is such an awesome. We have one of the best heroes that they could be. There could be no other hero, if you ask me. Yeah, I mean, we got heroes the world tell us that Superman is a hero, and that's a hero, and Aquaman's a hero, and so on and so on. But they're not my hero. Amen? They're not my hero. Hallelujah. I want to read something real quick, and then we're going to play a song. Amen. Like I said, I'm not going to keep me long. I know you want to get to your BBQ. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go to chapter, book of Corinthians, chapter 5. Amen. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. And we're just going to read verse 21. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you on today, God. Oh, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Oh, we glorify your name. We glorify your name. May you have it, please say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He deserves all the praise. He truly, truly, truly deserves all the praise. Amen. Hallelujah. I love you with the love of the Lord. I feel your presence in this place on today, God. Oh, I need you. I glorify you and I lift you up, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. He made him so that we can be right through him. And we need to take that so seriously. You look at the last few months, look at the last few weeks, look at the last few days. There's been tornadoes and storms and people losing their homes. Now, we're not even talking about the lives that has been lost, but people are sleeping in the streets. People don't have a place to go. Storms are coming through the farmland. If the food is going to waste, the people in the meat plants can't pack the meat because they're sick and they're suffering and they're dying. We need to have a prayer revival. A prayer revival. Praying to the heavens open and to the hands of the Lord reach down and purify this world. Purify the minds and the body and the spirit of his people. We need to pray, pray, pray until something happens. It's no longer just praying for you, just praying for your family, praying for your husband, praying. We need to come together, anointed together as one ministry, one mind in Christ, and have a revival prayer. Real revival. Hallelujah. Let's go to a song.
As I bow to your throne, I pray for love, joy, peace, and happiness to be present in my home. Well, I do, and let your Holy Spirit dwell in my heart and in my mind. Please give me strength, 'cause I get a little weak sometimes. I need help from you just to see me through. I pray. I pray for the sick and the weak ones too. Yes, I do. And all of those who are strong, let them know their purpose. Let them be agents for you. Well, let them work for you. Yeah. And let your Holy Spirit walk across the waters of my mind. I want to make you proud of what you've done. So I come to you through your Son, Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you for another day. My prayer, my prayer for peace, my prayer for love, my prayer for the vindication of your Holy.
We got to pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God. This is your Fix It Six, and I am still your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil, amen. And we're talking about my hero, amen. Hallelujah, we define hero in so many different ways. Amen, glory to God. The dictionary says a person noted for courageous acts or nobility of character. Hallelujah. A person who, in the opinion of others, has special achievements, abilities, or personal qualities, and is regarded as a role model or our ideal individual. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Before we close this fix on this evening, I just want to finish. A biblical statement from the Bible. Amen. And I told you I wouldn't keep you long on this evening. Just wanted to try to put something in our hearts and in our minds to remind us that a lot of times we put Jesus out of the picture because we're getting caught up in with the way that the world wants us to think, what the world said a hero is, and what the world says this should be, and what the world said how we should behave, and what the world say we're going to do. But we got to remember what our Lord and Savior tells us to do. We have to seek his face. We have to then be quiet and hear his instructions. And then we have to be obedient and follow his instructions to the letter. They might not be always pleasing to us, and it might not always be what we want to hear. But because he knows what's best for us, because he is the creator of everything and all things, he knows what's best. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to his name. Amen. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And with these words, Jesus handed his life over to his Father. Neither the Jewish religious rulers, nor Pilate, nor the crowd, nor even the guards themselves took away Jesus' life. He willingly gave it up. Jesus' crucifixion was the greatest act of love in human history. Reflect on the 7 sentences he uttered from the cross. Which of the statements leaves the greatest impression? If you take a moment and thank God for giving his son as not only the great but the perfect sacrifice for our sins, then thank Jesus himself paying the ultimate price and for dying in our place. That's my hero. And I thank you all who came out and fellowship with us on this evening. Thank you for spending time with us. And I thank you for continuous support. And I thank you for the new beginnings, because there's about to be a shifting in the atmosphere. And God needs us to be prepared spiritually. He needs our minds and our hearts to be on one accord. There's no time for envy and strife. There's no time for none of those things that we used to do when we're in a brand new place. Chore time. He called us this day to do a work. So I thank you once again. Father God, we thank you for giving us the ultimate hero, for saving our lives, for giving us a chance to live and live more abundantly, to live everlasting, to live to praise you forever, to live at your right-hand side, to be with you forever. To change from our wicked and dark ways, to love, to praise you, to worship you. We thank you for life today. We thank you for breath today. We thank you for our health and strength on today. Father, empower and impacting us to tell someone else about the goodness of the Lord. Someone that's not saved, someone that might give us attitude, someone that might give us a problem, someone that might give us issues, someone that gets under our skin. Show us how to tell them and reach them for your glory, for your honor, for you, God, who gave your only begotten Son, that we shall live and not die, but have everlasting life. Let your peace of all understanding fall upon us on today. Touch the government, God. Touch their minds. Touch the scientists. Give them wisdom. Give them knowledge. Give them understanding. Give those that lack, give them more than enough. Encourage those that are falling. Touch those that wants to surrender. There will be no more suicide. Touch your people. Come through, Holy Ghost. Breathe life. Breathe life more abundantly. Breathe life on your people, God. Give us wisdom of understanding and knowing you and wanting to love you, wanting to obey you, wanting to follow you, wanting to know you. Push. Push. It's a brand new birthing, a brand new baby. Push. And let the newness come forth. In Jesus' name I pray, and I thank you with the love of the Lord. And until next time, this has been your Fix It Six, and I have been your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. And if you pray for me, I promise you, I'll pray for you. In Jesus' name, good night.